Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's the Drink Talking with the Thinking Drinkers, Ben McFarland and Tom Sandon, and Mistress of Wine, Sam Capon. All the booze news and views, from absinthe to Zinfandel. Tall tales and cocktails.
A very warm welcome to another podcast of It's a Drink Talking with me, Sam Capon, the Mistress of Wine, and my two sidekicks, Tom and Ben.
Yes. Hello.
Thinking Drinkers.
Hello, everyone.
This week we are yet again in the fabulous Museum of Comedy, so a very big thank you for letting us record here. There is likely to be a little bit of ambient noise as there's a few people rustling crisps and eating lunch and basically enjoying these fabulous facilities. So this week I am doing Spit and Swallow.
You
spit
are,
or
Sam.
Swallow. And we got a tasting from Ben, a beer tasting.
Yep, it's going to be great. Going to be the best bit as ever.
As ever. And Tom, you're on Legends.
I've got a legend. He's dead.
Okay, you've got a dead one this time.
He's a good legend.
Okay, yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to all of that. So I'm going to kickstart this whole thing. And you know what? The drinks business is quite a source of material for us. Mm. You had your pesky rolls last time, last time. This week, I've got Rooftop Reds, as seen in the drinks business. Now, I've got a few problems with this. Right, well, I'll make you ask. This is a spit. So basically, some dude decided to start growing vines on a rooftop in Manhattan, build, quote unquote, as the world's first commercially viable rooftop vineyard, growing vines on a rooftop in New York.
Okay.
And they're going to be ready, apparently, in 2019. How much do you think he's hoping to sell these bottles for a bottle?
Oh, well, I imagine he's a painfully cool man.
I've got to work back a bit, first of all. There's no soil on top of a roof, so he's obviously... The scale of this can't be massive. It makes me ask the question, how many vines is he going to need to make how much wine?
How many grapes go into a bottle of wine first?
Fine, let me just try to answer those questions. Basically, it's a 14,800 square foot site, which is home to 42 planters, which hold 168 vines, and the first harvest will take place this year.
Okay, so he's started, he's off and running.
But the wines won't be ready, apparently, for another 18 months or so.
When it comes to that sort of scale of...
shoving it in some oak.
I need it in terms of football pitches, really. I can't imagine.
The vines were planted in 36 inches of soil, 40% of which is crushed, I can't say that word, recycled glass, mimicking sand, yada, yada, yada. So basically, there's a bit of a setup costs involved in, putting a fake vineyard on top of a rooftop. But the wines themselves, the grapes, get taken to a proper winemaking facility to get made.
He's
just growing the grapes on a rooftop in New York, and then they go to a vineyard called Point of the Bluff Vineyard in upstate New York for aging and bottling. Right. So this dude, Devin, I think his name is, D-E-V-I-N, showmaker.
Can I just say, I don't know, I've taken an irrational hatred of this man.
I don't know why. He's
a lovely guy. I can just imagine sitting there cross-legged with some... smashed avocado on toast.
He has a viticulture and wine technology graduate.
Why do we have to have a go at avocado?
Okay.
Sorry,
Sam. He's not really in wine. He makes
the grapes.
He's not even a wine expert.
Well, he's a viticulture and wine technology graduate, a recent graduate, And before that, he did swimming lessons in China. So, he's kind of He's kind of, you know, trying a variety of different things.
Yeah.
Now he's trying wine. Mm. But the thing I take massive umbrage with in this case is the how much, which we haven't got to yet.
Yeah, how much the bottle
thing. Well, I'm asking you.
I bet he's going to charge a lot, but I don't want to be stupid and say
£100.
Are we doing
dollars? Are we doing dollars or pounds?
Dollars.
Okay.
Dollars.
I'm going to say $40 a bottle.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say a bit. No, I'd say more because she's looking smug. $70.
$70?
Yeah.
He reckons they'll sell at $1,000 a
Devon can go fuck himself.
Well, Devon is a penis. A penis.
I find that offensive.
What?
I find that really offensive. Quote, unquote. Speaking to CNBC, he expressed his confidence that the £1,000 bottle price tag reflects the fact that the wine will be a collector's item. And it's the first of its kind and extremely limited. He added its novelty value will mean it's cool for everyone to come and see. And that is quote, unquote. It's cool for everyone to come and see. It's a fucking wine grown on a rooftop in New York, probably riddled with pollution.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Yeah.
But of course, just because it's scarce doesn't make it good.
Mm. That's my point. And you know what? A lot of people ask me when I do wine tastings, ask about pricing. And because people want value wine, they want good wines, but people want wine at a certain price. And, you know, the whole thing about fine wine, and some of it is production, but most of it is supply and demand, obviously.
Mm.
But, you know, some really rare wines are amazing, and you'd taste them and you'd know that's a, you know, an expensive wine. And that's something we have to do in the Master of Wine exams. There's always a quality section, and you have to analyse the BLIC, the balance, length, intensity and complexity, BLIC. That's a big part of blind tasting wine. Is it good? Is it not?
Is there a marking me off section where you taste a wine and get given the price and you go, they're taking the piss?
No, but that is essentially what you do throughout the whole paper.
Do you have a price guide section?
Can you get a master wine, but it's be a specialist in below £5 wines?
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm interested in.
Well,
really,
to be honest with you, I am very commercial. I'm not a fine wine.
Gun for hire.
I think Aldi
an absolute gun for hire.
Oh, yeah. You know, I've always worked for commercial organisations, and so I don't really do the whole fine wine thing so much. So, yeah, you know, most of mine go into different things. But it really pisses me off. I think the arrogance and naivety of someone just setting up a vineyard on a roof in New York and thinking they can get $1,000 a bottle of wine and that some Muppet's going to pay for it.
But the thing is, someone will.
Some Muppet will. That's the problem,
but how
isn't
many...
It?
I know you can't tell how...
is it any good?
Well, you don't know whether it's any good, but can you tell how many bottles you get out of those wines? Because if you can only get two bottles, he's only making $2,000. It must have cost $2,000.
So it's in here somewhere. Let me quickly look
in your own time.
I don't know.
It's just the
just a bit of prep.
I think
a bit of prep,
it wasn't not. So. I'm going to say something like 480 cases. If something
what?
Like
480 times six. Yeah.
Yeah, but if you actually do the maths,
with,
I mean, how much is he paying to?
Oh my god! And this quote—it
just sounds
me.
Like a stupid idea. Can we just deal
I agree.
With that?
And then he goes, there's a whole mysticism around wine culture, but how many people know what vines need to grow and prosper? He wasn't one who's just done the degree. And that's basically what a winemaker and a viticulturist does. People really do know what vines need to grow and prosper.
There is a lot of mysticism around wine.
And
this is why people like him can come along and mug people off.
I think he's just mugging himself off.
Really? No, not if he's getting $300,000.
If he's getting that. But think about what real estate in Manhattan, he's got to rent that space for the whole year. He can't be very profitable, even
well,
if he
does
sold
do pop-up dining experiences, yoga classes, pizza, wine and film screenings.
I hate this guy.
So that's my spit, and actually
the pop-up
my blood pressure
thing.
Is going through the roof. Just think about it, so let's move on.
Dickhead.
Yeah.
going on to something far better, much better idea.
What's that, Sam?
Well, I'll tell you the idea, and then you tell me what you think, and we can discuss
that's the whole point.
Okay.
It
works, really.
So, conversation. What would you think about someone, naming no names, who came up with an idea of an at-home wine education case? So what you do is you buy your case of six wines, called the taste case, and then you take it home, you open it, and you can do, like, taste it with a partner, group of friends, do it for a dinner party.
And then you
taste the wines with the video of each wine, teaching you about the wine
like
in the comfort of your own home.
There's a couple of things there, Sam. I'll tell you what I think of that. Two things. First of all, what is missing is a spirits pack and a beer pack.
Yeah.
And secondly, what do you think about a book that's been written by two drinks experts that's available on Amazon?
What, to go in with the case?
To go with the case.
Oh, what about a new book written by three drinks experts?
Oh, right, okay.
Now, I do want to write a book next year. I want to call it Taste and do it all around my wine poetry. And so obviously, anyway, listeners, so what, the so taste what case is obviously mine. And in case
can I just
you're on tenterhooks.
Through
I think it's a rubbish idea. I think people give it to someone and they will sit in a corner and then you'll get your. Some people come round, you'll suggest it and they'll go, you know, no, let's play artsy instead. And then. That would be, but still, you would have sold it.
Yeah.
So well, yes, okay. Hopefully. So, anyway, so
I think it's a good idea. I think people will.
No, yeah, I think it's a very good idea.
Especially even if you're
perfect
just cooking
for Christmas.
Dinner and you've got it there and you're pouring a wine and you're watching the video while you're making the dinner. That's a good idea.
Yeah, so it's basically meant to be for people who don't know loads about wine, they want to know more. But they probably wouldn't actually leave the house and go to a wine tasting.
Agoraphobic wine drinkers.
Yeah, agoraphobic wine drinkers.
That's your target market.
Yeah, with a bit of a disposable income.
People who hate people. I'm on board with this idea.
Yeah. So anyway, it's launched.
Okay.
It launched on the 1st of December. It's available from, do you know Phil Glass and Swigert?
Yes, no. I do.
They're a fine wine merchant. They've got a store in Northcote Road in Clapham. They've got one in Marylebone.
Marylebone.
Which one is it? Seriously? Who knows? I'm going to get it online from them. The videos are available on my site, themistressofwine.com.
Well,
and if you're looking for last minute gifting for Christmas, if you want to do a little dinner party with a twist, it's just a swallow. Yeah, whatever you look at it.
Sounds like
the taste case. You heard it here first.
Yeah.
And how many bottles of wine do you get with it?
Six.
And how have you sourced those wines?
So I have sourced them all through Liberty Wines.
Yeah,
who are excellent, award-winning wine merchants and importers. Where Master of Wine David Gleave is in the head there, and Justin Knox, another Master of Wine, who is one of the co-owners of Phil Glass and Swigert. So great wines. The launch case has a Terrain Sauvignon. So the whole point is they're all varietally very pure and true. So it goes with my wine flavour tree. I don't know if you've seen it.
Yes.
You haven't seen my tree? So the whole idea is that they're all really classic grape varieties to really try and help people, you know, smell and taste the specific aromas you get from those varieties, and then try and build up, you know, sort of knowledge and understanding of grapes, where they're grown in the world, what they taste like, and a bit of food and wine matching.
Good, you know,
so Sauvignon Blanc, Chardonnay, a Pinot, a Tempranillo, Rioja, and a Carmenere.
Tempranillo.
Nice. What's the last
all
one?
Good for Christmas.
Carmenere.
Carmenere. So, for example, the Sauvignon would be fantastic with the smoked salmon.
Nice.
Viognier, I thought, would be nice with a bit of leftover turkey or a party. Or a nut roast.
I like Chardonnay. Shut up.
Great with your roast turkey on Christmas
turkey.
Day.
Back to the meat.
They're all good with turkey.
They're all good with turkey. Pinot,
good with turkey. Gobble,
or game. Some people Brussels. Have don't have turkey on Christmas Day. Rioja, great with lamb.
Goose is good.
Or a Turkish tagine or goose.
Yeah.
And then Carmenere beef. Sometimes we used to have beef on Christmas Day.
And how much? How much is it?
So it's not cheap.
Oh, here we go.
Is it as cheap as a ticket to the Thinking Drinkers show?
How much are your tickets?
£20, £18 without the booking fee. Yeah. Talk to us.
Buy them on the door.
Give you a good price.
Museum of Comedy.
So I think it's quite good value. The wines are very good wines. And the
how
case,
much are they?
If you buy it in store, it's £85.
What?
£85?
Six wines?
Which works out about £14 a bottle.
And how long's the video?
And you get all the videos. Six.
They're not actual
video
cassettes, so they're DVDs. So, wait a minute, included in the price...
Well, I will. This is a launch. This is kind of launching it to test the concept.
So, wait a minute, included in the price are the videos that you can watch online anyway?
No, they're not included in the price.
Oh,
that's
right.
Just the ones. The price is
the
wine.
Just correspond?
But they come in a case.
Yeah.
Can you use the case afterwards for other things? Like children's
like
toys?
Like your chopped-off head.
Is that what you're going for?
Look, I've been watching Dragon's Den, and these are the kind of questions.
You'll need a massive box if you're going for his head. I'd go for something else.
So we get the money from the wine margin.
Yeah.
Okay. That's how you make your money.
It's not about you making money, though, is it? It's about you spreading the good word of wine and educating
people. You know what? And
generally, Christmas better.
Yeah, just
changing
lives.
It is more about that, actually. I'm trying to get this out, try the concept, see if it works. Basically, you're paying for the wines. That is the cost of the wine. And there's a little bit extra on top to cover all the printed materials. Because when you open the case
you get
up,
printed materials.
You get a lovely tasting brochure and a...
There's a paper in it. That's
No, that is good. Because if it was just a case of wine, can we get one?
Surely we get...
We get
complimentaries. Buy one. Well, so I bought my own tickets.
That's true, you did.
Both are.
Damn, that's backfired.
Yeah.
Anyway, oh, that's good. That's my spit and swallow.
Good one.
A little bit of sub promotion.
Why not?
Happy
that's
Christmas.
What this is for. Buy our stuff, listeners. Yeah. That's what we're here for.
If they're listeners, is there a code that can give our podcast listeners, like,
oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah. A pound off.
Maybe we send that out of the tweets.
Just say Sam sent you. No, no, actually, no. There currently isn't one. It, but that is a good idea. I need
think
to cogitate
that.
On that and get back okay. to the end of this podcast.
All right.
Right. So, Ben, I think we're over to you.
Yeah.
Ben,
oh, right.
Let's have something thing to drink.
Right.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This is a podcast. It's the Drink Talking.
We are talking about beer, as ever. And I've got three beers here that are designed for your Christmas day.
Ooh,
got one an all-dayer, an all-day sort of session beer. Got one with cheese. And in fact, I've got two with cheese.
Oh, I'm so pleased.
Two with cheese, or maybe one with the turkey.
We're just going to get this out now, that one of them's called Big Job.
Yeah, I'll come to that. And that's not the only reason I picked it, but it was
the main reason.
The main reason.
Brussels sprouts, lots of meat.
You see all the big deals with beer at Christmas, you know, these slabs of lager being given away by supermarkets, and that seems to be what everyone goes for. You need to have a beer that you can drink through the day that doesn't, it's not going to get you hammered, but it's got enough flavour to deal with all the crisps and the canapes.
It's quite interesting,
and all that
we,
kind of
we
stuff.
Definitely settle into our own little categories, because basically I get the impression you really will drink beer all Christmas Day. You talk about the fact you're, you
vermouths
know,
and whiskies.
Be, yeah, where I'm just going to be chugging down the vino.
Yeah, I guess you do. You go to what you know.
Yeah.
It's a
I
safe
just say my option is definitely the cheapest.
That's true.
Yeah, yep. But hopefully not that cheap.
No, it's not. So the one, golly, the
get it
last
in the glass,
year,
the
last
very
year,
least.
And it's annoying because I couldn't get hold of it, but you can get hold of it if you give yourself enough time. Last year, I drank this beer called Taras Bulba, which is from a Belgian brewery called Brasserie de la Seine. And that is amazing all day session beer. It's a kind of pale ale, but it's lovely. So I'd suggest that. But the beer I'm suggesting here is Beavertown Neck Oil Session IPA. Now, all the beer geeks.
My husband loves that.
I think with Christmas, you do not want to gamble.
Is this a grapefruity one?
Yeah.
The one that if you took a grapefruit to a pub for one day or something, you'd got a free pint.
I don't know.
When it first came out?
Hey, that's quite fun. It's very good beer.
I like
the Beavertown, based in Tottenham. Logan Plant, Robert Plant's son. From Led Zeppelin. He's a brewer there, very nice guy. He does really good beers. Pretty much everything they produce is very, very good. And I think this is just an all-day Very drinkable.
Yeah, you can tell
four
and all day.
4.3%.
Okay.
Yeah, nice and citrusy.
I'm going to pull you up on that.
That is quite strong.
That's strong.
Yeah.
That's not
really?
An all-dayer. That's not an all-dayer. What I would go for is a Colonel Table beer.
It is if you're not lightweight.
No, I've looked at the Colonel Table beer.
But a 2-3%er. I mean, all day, you've got to think about... Coming from a man who's starting the day with vermouth.
Yeah.
Topping and tailing it with a vermouth and whiskey. So I'm not in really any position to judge, but I would have thought the lower ABV might be a bit safer.
4.3, still good. I still think that's not going to...
If I have... Just take the edge off.
It's not 7.5,
take the edge off the... I mean...
But if you have four of those...
Okay, all right, I'll rephrase it. This is a session of beer given my family. For my family. If
you
spend Christmas
say,
with my
Ben,
family...
Just punch your nan in the face. And, you know,
she's
drink
dead.
Well, that's because you punched too hard.
Yeah, I know.
But, you know, just have a lower ABV...
Okay, the table beer from Colonel's good.
Yeah.
There are...
Wild Swan from Thornbridge.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
a really
yeah.
lovely... That's three...
That's 3.4. Mm. You've got Chiswick. Get busy with the Chiswick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Chiswick, decent Chiswick.
I read... From did Fuller's, you read which is good. Recently about a couple of blokes? Their background, I think, was actually in gin. Right.
Yes.
They're from Sipsmith.
They've started a low ABV yeah. beer brewery.
Yeah, we bumped into them.
Yeah, yeah. The Waitrose Drinks Festival. Yeah.
Oh, did you? Yeah. They look quite young, but they...
Yeah, yeah. Small Beer, that's the name of the company, isn't it?
Yeah.
Small Beer.
Because Small Beer
is...
Yeah, it's a good idea, because it's not no alcohol.
That is a good all-day drink.
But I think this has got loads of flavour.
Well, this is a really lovely beer.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, maybe I won't be drinking that with my whiskey rum.
Exactly. What is it about that 4.3%?
11 o'clock martini.
And this is definitely in relation to you. I'd never have chosen this before doing the podcast. And I can't remember the name of it. You know, it's a cocktail and it's got bourbon in it. It's really classic.
Manhattan.
A Manhattan is vermouth and rum and American whiskey. So that would be...
Yeah, I think it was that. And I ordered it in the bar. And I'd never have had it before.
So nice. Do you have a little... Sometimes it comes with a cherry.
But an old-fashioned? No.
What comes in an old-fashioned?
That would be an American whiskey. You can have a rum old-fashioned, but an old-fashioned is just stirred with... bitters and some sugar.
Who's that?
Syrup.
That's a good, that's a lovely
drink. It's a really good drink. But you have to stir it down quite nicely to get the dilution, so it's a bit of a nightmare for bartenders if you go in at Christmas and order 10 old fashions.
And they're busy. Yeah.
So it's a bit, don't do that.
It's a country's version of a Guinness. Bartenders. The spirit version of the Guinness. Mm. So, all right, well, that went down like
thumbs up. No, we liked it.
Oh, I love the beer.
We're just querying your 4.3%.
Right. So, well, the next one I'm trying is 7.2%.
Okay,
and I think this is a good main course beer.
Yeah.
This is from the St. Austell Brewery down in Cornwall. The locals used to call it St. Awful. It had a really bad reputation. This is years and years ago. And then...
Sound of drinks being poured, listeners.
Yeah.
And, how ambient.
And there's a guy there called Roger Ryman. He's a very tall man.
Cool, what?
Roger Ryman. And he's the brewer there. And he came in and just turned it all around. And now St. Austell, they do their own whiskey as well. And they do...
Ooh.
They do a beer... And it's called...
The original beer they did is called Proper Job.
Oh, and it was my husband has that at home.
Yeah, and it's an IPA.
Really
very readily available, really good.
And it looks
British
the package,
style
exactly
IPA.
The same
it
as
is,
this, right?
Yes. Mm. But this is essentially Proper Job, but bigger. And they've, much
job.
To my amusement, and no one else is apparently in
mine.
The beer world.
I
know.
I'm kind of in the beer world, I suppose.
But
yeah,
what we find funny, weird, really isn't funny outside in the real world.
I don't understand
how it is.
How can it not be a big job? It's a big job.
I mean, it just means, how is that not funny? On Christmas Day, you'll be going, big job, anyone?
I need a big job.
That'll be really funny. Because Christmas crackers, all that kind of stuff. And it's just, I mean, when
I first... I need a big job.
I need a big job. I really do.
Because my granny used to call it Big Job. Did anyone else have that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Obvs. Big Job, for listeners who don't know what we're talking about,
it is poo.
Means poo.
Yeah.
Doing a big poo. Anyone who's got children will be reliving the fun around the words Big
so,
and Job.
But that's not the only... It is a very good beer as well.
Yeah.
Although,
it doesn't
even
taste
it's
like
awful.
Big Jobs. It doesn't taste like Big Jobs.
It's quite punchy.
It is. It's a sort of...
It's almost a double IPA.
Now this... Oh, God, sorry.
You're right there.
Yeah, hit the mic with the bottle. It uses lots of American hops. I've got Cascade in there. Oh, God, I've done it again.
In the microphone.
Cascade, what? Citra. What? No, it's not got Cascade. Citra and Centennial, sorry. And then it's also got Maris Otter... Barley.
Oh,
and we've been down there. We met a farmer who grows the barley of St. Austell. big hands. Floor massive maltings. Hands.
Floor maltings.
I need some big hands. To
Maris Otter, that's good. That's Maris good Otter, grain.
It's amazing. You go and they take this to the maltings and they rake it. And
We raked it.
It's hard work. It's actual manual labour.
Where did you do this?
Down at the
maltings? Yeah, went down to St. Austell. And it's an IPA, essentially. Well,
can we just touch on the alcohol? This isn't a second
It's a double
beer.
IPA.
So it's a double IPA, 7.2%.
Ben and I probably told the anecdote where we were
it's
in America.
It's a big beer.
And we had to sample 70 double IPAs. But in America, they're about 11%. So a double IPA is actually at 7%. Yeah. That's not too bad, is it?
It does have cascade in it. Yeah, you can tell it.
It doesn't taste that alcoholic. And it does taste... Oh, man, with a lot turkey, of traditional English IPAs now being compared to American IPAs are very different. Mm. That double IPA is getting closer to a sort of an American IPA style.
Yeah, but it's still
it?
Got but a Britishness about
but
it.
But yeah, it's light.
Also,
it's
the Maris Otter Barley, if you go to America, they are so jealous of the fact that British brewers have it on their doorstep because they've got all the hops, but their barley is not as good as it is here, really. And so the Maris Otter is really nice, and that gives it... It's a really lovely, good...
Soft
quintessential
soft.
British IPA, but with a little bit of an American twist on it as well.
Okay,
and I think it's really good turkey beer, a main course. But I think that will deal with anything you throw at it. And it's
because turkey's quite bland, really. So it's
quite
but
nice you get especially with the skin, that little caramelization of the skin. And
yeah.
Wow. Have it with goose. Honestly,
do you give goose every year?
My mum tends to cook goose. I just think. It's got so much more flavour, and something like that with it, the bitterness will sort of cut through the fattiness of a goose.
It really works. We've not really touched upon beer and food matching in much detail, but whilst I think it's a good idea in theory, I don't think it always works. And I think people talk about it too much.
We've talked about how you need lots of different things, haven't we? And I think you wouldn't match all beer through all the dishes.
No.
You'd have something else with.
Which brings me on to cheese. Now.
Beer and cheese.
You had port last time.
Yeah.
That's good. Wine, however, no. So this is a Rochefort Trappist beer, number 10. Now, this is a big beer. This is 11.4%. We've talked about Trappist beers before. Mm-hmm. Sam, tell us about Trappist beers. What do you have to do to qualify as a Trappist beer?
Beer monk.
You have to be, it has to be brewed by monks within the walls of an actual monastery.
Religious establishment.
In the walls of a monastery.
Yeah, and it has to bring, And this one has been brewed within the walls of Saint-Rémy, and my son is called Rémy.
So he'll be getting this for Christmas.
Yeah. Nice. In the morning. Kind of a quiet Christmas.
Night before, I thought.
That will shut him up.
Yeah. But this is a proper, big, kind of brooding, muscular beer. It's quite raisiny.
Any relation to the cheese?
No, it's
Rochefort.
Not.
That's just a coincidence,
I think.
But it does go well with cheese. Listeners.
Right, okay, so.
Do it over the microphone so people can hear you pouring.
Okay, hang on, here we go, kids. Not kids.
You've just spilled it on yourself.
There we go.
Wow. Now, effervescent. Look at the head. Oh,
yeah,
ball
condition. Now, this
head.
Is something that the longer it ages, the better. This is the port, I'd say, of the beer world. Raisiny.
It's me. That is caramel.
Mm.
So it
is. Is this like a stout really? In any way?
No. This is, you call it a, some people call it a quadruple or an ubbed beer.
A what?
A quadruple is, you have doubles, you have triples, and you have a quadruple.
What makes it a quadruple?
Just you've got more hops in there, you've got more, more malt in there as well.
Just more ingredients.
Yeah. Well, but you're getting more alcohol out of it, you're getting the big heart of the mash
there. Yeah, there's a lot of flavour going
there
on
is
there.
Loads.
There is. I like the way it says Cerveza, front and centre, just for the Spanish drinkers.
Yeah. That with cheese, I think.
That's a food beer.
This is a classic beer that you should drink slowly, obviously. Yeah.
It's
remained
like
very, very good.
And coffee and
It's got eight raisins. Yeah, it's got that raisins. Got
very wintry.
Yeah. It's a cocoa warming
chocolate
beer.
As well. As
yeah.
A little bit of bitterness.
Go with peanuts.
Very fragrant.
Yeah. I think it's a wonderful beer.
Interesting. In a good way.
And I think you should be doing your cheese board with beer.
Mm.
Maybe a port if you have to. But really, beer and cheese.
Any cheese or just cheese?
Just cheese. Cathedral City. All the classics.
Co-op own brand, I'll be happy.
But the cheese board, I think, is where the beer really excels as a pairing.
I mean, I'm going to bring up whiskey again because I just think.
Oh, whatever.
But you can have a Boilermaker. You can have a beer and a whiskey next
to
your
cheese. Yeah, Talisker and some cheese.
Yeah. A Boilermaker?
Yeah, just a beer with a spirit.
Chaser.
Yeah. Whiskey,
is that what it's called?
Chase the spirit with
Can you imagine doing that? at the Christmas table. Just like double fisting at the Christmas table. That's what it's called.
I
what
can
you
imagine
about?
Myself doing it now.
Double yeah. parking, I think you mean.
No, in America it's called double fisting.
Mm. Oh, you know what? That's true, because we one of the last companies I worked at, the CEO, who's American, came bounding in one day and started talking about double fisting, and the room just went quiet.
Mm.
And he's like, what? And we're like, that does not mean that over here.
No.
Lovely.
Good, yeah. Good.
I think I did a really good job there, thanks.
And what I really liked is the way that they went up very distinct, like lighter, very distinct different styles.
Yeah, I'm just worried
and
about
colours
the,
and fruits.
How much
and...
I'm drunk.
Well, you're not driving anywhere, so it's fine.
No. No, I won't be driving on Christmas Day unless I'm able to get out of the house. In which case, I'll be driving for the hill.
North Circular Road.
Who are you having Christmas with this year?
No, I'm having Christmas with my in-laws this year, which would be very nice. Then Boxing Day with my parents and listeners. This is gold. Who are we having Christmas with? I mean, it's like we're in a bar and we've really run out of conversation. So what are we doing for Christmas now? We are in a bar, in the Museum of Comedy bar, aren't we? It's, we haven't run out of conversation, listeners. Don't worry.
Yeah, it's not the problem where we're all concerned.
No.
Right then, well done, Ben.
Thanks.
Good beers, excellent suggestions for the seasonal period.
So today's legend of liquor is dead. He's a rum drinker, was a rum drinker. He was a writer, probably one of the greatest drinkers of all time. It's Ernest Hemingway.
Mm.
Yeah, we're familiar with his work, I'm sure. No? Have you read any of his books?
Nope.
Bit overrated, frankly.
Staccato.
Staccato. No, he's a bit of a ledge. He started off his life in regional news, actually, which Ben and I can relate to. We've been at the hard end of news on regional
booze news.
Can I just say
actual local newspapers
news.
Yeah,
I was just the other day I was sat with my wife and we were comparing our journalistic backgrounds
pedigrees,
and I was just saying, look, she used to do showbiz reporting, so I was going, look, that wasn't news, that's just fluff. Bear in mind I write about beer, so that is really cutting edge. And then she went, oh, I've actually done some really important news pieces. She went, I did this really hard hitting piece on domestic abuse. I'm like, hard-hitting.
What,
I don't think that's the phrase you should be using.
No, and written from a first-hand perspective, I'm sure. it's not really journalism, it's happening on your doorstep.
She stopped hitting me.
You got to sniff those stories out. It's lazy. So you just sat on the sofa. Anyway, Hemingway was a journalist. He worked on a Kansas City Star. He boxed in school, so he's a bit of a hard nut. He was an ambulance man in World War One. And he took shrapnel injuries there and picked up a Medal of Valor. So he was quite a cool, hard
geezer.
But he couldn't serve in the Second World War. And at the time, he was actually in Cuba. And really, when it comes to his drinking prowess, we tend to look at that spell while he was in Cuba. He went over there in 1932 on holiday, skipping away from his new son. He didn't want to change the nappies and decided to go on a holiday with his mate. And they decided to stay.
Different times.
He stayed there until the 1940s.
He stayed, he naffed off.
Stop back in a bit.
Yeah.
Just see going ya. To get some milk.
And rum.
And rum.
nearly 20 years a resident in Cuba. And he drank a lot of Cuban rum. And he'd drink daiquiris in a bar called Floridita, which is still there today. They've got a massive bronze life-size statue of him at the bar.
It's not a masculine drink, I always think.
A daiquiri? It's white rum.
One?
White rum and lime and sugar.
Yeah.
It's a sour drink, and it's quite punchy. It's quite difficult to drink. And actually, the bartenders hold the daiquiri up as one of those, if you can make a decent daiquiri, you're a decent bartender. It's sort of badge of honour, really. Because it's quite a subtle balance of all those ingredients. So, but he would have something called the Papa Doble, which was a
sounds like
double,
something Strictly.
Yeah. God's teeth. One of the benefits of being on tour for the whole autumn is I haven't watched that shit once. Well, they do manage to have it on every day now, I notice.
Yeah, really.
They have a BBC Two show. Let's not advertise.
Let's go back to Papa Doble.
Papa Doble, so double the rum. One. So he had massive rum drinks and he used to drink in there every day. And
so
then
he was
here
basically an alcoholic.
No.
Right, okay, well, this is going to be difficult to talk about if you're going to bring up that word. because many of the legends we've had
mention that word,
drink excessively. I mean, you have to accept that while he was drinking heavily in Cuba...
And leaving his wife and baby at home.
Yeah, he was also writing a Nobel Award-winning literature.
Cool.
He wrote The Old Man and the Sea while he was in Cuba drinking. So
no,
you could
I've
argue...
Got an
Really? Yeah. You've not heard of that? That was a Nobel Prize winning piece of work. I'd say that reflects more on you than on the Earnest.
I thought that.
He wrote Roger Red Hat. Do you know that one?
And Sam is flicking Ben the V's, listeners. Those of you who can't see that. You could argue, yes, he drank excessively, and we wouldn't condone that, but he did create some good work while he drank as well. So it inspired him to do great things. But while he was out there, he bet a lot on cockfighting, which is not something we condone.
I'm not sure I like him. Gambler, Alki.
But wait, because
he was a bounder.
Yeah, it was a different time.
A bounder and a cad.
He tried to stay true to his war hero roots by approaching the American ambassador of Cuba and asking him if he could arm his fishing boats, because he did a lot of game fishing, with bazookas, hand grenades and machine guns.
As you do.
And go Nazi hunting. Bearing in mind...
Were there any Nazis around? Yeah.
At that stage, they hadn't got that far. There weren't too many...
That's the thing with the Nazis. Too many Nazis. They're sneaky.
They're all around you, aren't they? The ambassador, he did say yes. He said you could do this. So Hemingway got together a group of people to help him in this quest. It comprised gamblers. There was a salty sea dog named Sinbad, an actual Sinbad on his boat. This is the troop he took. A Catholic priest... So
this
it's like Cannonball Run, isn't it?
It's like a joke. Like, what do I put in the boat? A salty Sinbad.
Yeah, Sinbad, a priest.
A tramp, cannibal.
Tramps he just picked up on the street. Yeah. And waiters from Floridita, who made him his favourite daiquiris.
So how many people were on the boat? Was it a big boat?
Have you ever seen those game fishing boats? No. They're massive
berths. They're big.
They're massive, and they go after things like marlin and really hard things to catch. Oh. Ben and I went game fishing in San Diego, actually.
Yeah.
In the spirit of... Hemingway and all the rest of it, we went to a shop and bought Hawaiian shirts and then went to the port and realised that it was pretty much a commercial fishing trawler and all the men who were on there were there to actually catch fish to
and
sell
in their overalls.
And we were very much out of place. It was bitterly cold. We were wearing Hawaiian shirts. It was so cold. We'd never been fishing before in our lives, so didn't know what we were doing, and I was seasick from the minute we left port. But I did catch more than Ben.
Yeah.
I caught a fish while being sick in the toilet with my fishing rod hanging out over the side, and Ben caught nothing. That was
not
a great
really,
experience,
no.
Yeah. If you like being sick and freezing cold, thinking you're Ernest Hemingway, which you're not. And he went out there, and obviously there were no Nazis out there, so Ernest chucked the grenades in the sea and used them for fishing.
He used them. So it's much easier.
Just firing bazookas at fish. And for that reason alone, I think, really,
that's
he
good.
Deserves his legendary status. Okay, so he's not a man who's created drinks, I accept.
He's the kind of man whose reputation has been belittled by the current politically correct climate.
Yeah.
Where men are...
not even going to carry on. I've chosen him because I think this is the start of a revolution.
Yes.
As Ben has proved with his wife, it's time to start fighting back. and this is how we're going to do it. We're all going to endorse people like Hemingway.
Men are just getting sidelined.
What's terrible business. And I know we're going to get tweets. Please, can we have some tweets?
Let's see if this works.
There might be calls. There won't be calls. But this man, he represented... Big hard drinking, creating great literature.
He lived in Paris and stuff. He lived a very eclectic,
life.
Well, yeah, he wrote before Cuba, and he knocked around with great artists. And I mean, his work, you may not like his writing style. It was, as Ben said, staccato, but it's changed the shape of literature in many ways. So
it's the kind of book you can read it on a tube. But just don't really read it. But if you're reading on a tube, people think
just have a copy
cool.
of Viz on the inside.
exactly.
That's what I tend to do with all my books. Don DeLillo, yeah. No, it's Viz. It's Viz. So there he is, Ernest Hemingway.
Ernest Hemingway.
Sam is entitled to her opinion, but she's wrong.
I reckon he'd be great fun to hang out with.
Yeah,
I think
exactly.
I don't know how much fun he would have been.
No.
I think it was.
Is, just sozzled all the time.
Yeah, I don't know.
Aggressive?
Yeah, probably. Who knows? I didn't know the man. He's dead.
my problem.
But he did drink a lot of rum.
I think it's really weird that you just basically. What did he get married? Had a baby, and then basically.
He had a few marriages. Yeah.
Went knobbed off to Cuba. I think it's a bit weird. But I mean,
are
you
still
live
reading
on
that
terms?
Book? Are you still reading that?
You're
book?
Still annoyed about that book where the guy leaves his
previous
wife.
Podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. There's a man infidelity. Yeah. Voles, all at it. Okay, so that's it.
I mean, he's
controversial choice this week.
But it's very interesting to hear about him. I particularly like the boat story.
Yeah.
That must have been a laugh, throwing grenades into the water.
Yeah. If nothing else,
I hope it was a successful way to catch a fish as well.
Yeah.
So, listeners, that brings us on to the end of this podcast, which is our last one before Christmas. So, a very happy Christmas, everyone. Basically, happy Christmas. The Thinking Drinkers, my lovely sidekicks Ben and Tom, are doing a run here at the Museum of Comedy from I think the 12th to the 23rd. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they'll be working very hard, and so we're going to take a little break and we'll be back in the new year. So that all that remains is for us all to wish you a very happy, healthy festive period. Drink well, but drink less, drink better.
Drink less, drink better, so you can still be drinking in January.
Yes.
When we're coming back to you.
God, I've never done a dry January, have you?
No, dry January, water.
Yeah, and my birthday's in Jan, so...
Yeah, and it's the worst month of the year. Yeah, why would you not drink? Don't drink in August where you can at least sit in the sunshine and drink water.
Yeah.
But in January, you're going to be sat in a house just wanting to pull your eyes out. Mm. I mean, drink. For God's sake, people, drink.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we've got no jobs.
On that cheery note, and once again, a very, very big thank you to the Museum of Comedy for letting us use their great facilities. So thank you for that. Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas!
Cheerio, bye!
Cheers!
This was a Grand Cru podcast from 7 Digital.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.